You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
The Transport Minister, Barbara Creasy, has dissolved the board of the Road Accident Fund, citing ongoing governance failures that have crippled the institution's ability to deliver on its mandate. With escalating litigation costs, leadership instability and mounting delays in processing claims, the RAF is fast becoming, I'd suggest, a case study in institutional collapse. For road accident victims and those advocating on their behalf, the stakes couldn't be higher. I'm in conversation now with Nwako Mohlaloha from the Association for the Protection of Road Accident Victims. A very warm welcome to you. So what's your initial reaction to this decision? Long overdue or a little too late?
Well, Jeremy, if you go back to the minister's first public view on the RAF after the formation of the GNU, she mentioned that the governance issues at the RAF are a concern to her and to be looked into. We have long been trying to reach out to the minister to raise some alarming issues with her with regard to the RAF, but we understand that she had to familiarize herself with the situation within the RAF and to make a decision and maybe follow process. So in our view, it's not surprising that she made this decision. We believe that it's a well-considered decision, and we support her on that one, Jeremy.
So let's talk about those alarming issues and specifically critical governance failures that have led to this move. I guess a combination of leadership, poor leadership, maybe a lack of accountability, but we also know there's been a deeper systemic rot within the organization for some time.
Jeremy, the outgoing CEO, when he took over, there was COVID, and then subsequently Parliament got burned. The building in Parliament got burned, as a result of which there was no oversight at all. And we have been, as APRAF, having a very good relationship with Parliament, and that's why we've been able to force executives to account. Now, some of the systemic issues within the RAF are that, even though they are highly litigious, they did not have the head of legal in place who is properly qualified to be advising the RAF on the various legal issues that they are facing. That's number one. And if you consider the fact that the RAF is there to, you know, to pay claims for victims, for 2 years now, they did not have the chief claims officer. Now, that, according to us, has been engineered to cripple the RAF, and we are hopeful that the minister's intervention is going to look into some of these issues, but specifically capacitate or force the interim board or the advisory panel to make sure that they capacitate the fund to be able to effectively administer claims and ultimately quicken the payment of victims.
And all of that is absolutely critical, but all contingent, I imagine, on whether Treasury and government have the political will to fully restructure the RAF. Or do you think maybe we're just going forward for another round of superficial fixes?
Jeremy, if you mention the Treasury, we are a bit worried. For a number of years now, we've been asking the Treasury to be clear about the spending of the fuel levy money, the flow of the fuel levy money from Treasury into the RAF. It is our view, and I must treat with caution there, that we suspect that all the monies that are collected through the fuel levy are not being spent on the RAF, as per the RAF Act. So we are calling on Treasury to reveal all the spending of the fuel levy money to make sure that the money is being spent for what it is meant for, which is the compensation of the road accident victims.
And what response have you had, if any, from Treasury in that respect?
Dead silence for a number of years now. And we have been, you know, appealing to Parliament to assist us. If you submit a prior request, it's normally rejected and they refuse to disclose the allocation of the fuel levy money.
So why don't you take
it
to court?
Jeremy, we are very amenable to discussions that will help us to get to a situation where it's not confrontational. We've always been saying, let's create an atmosphere where we can sit around the table and talk around issues. And we have not as yet reached a decision where we think it's the right time that we must go to court.
But given that people's lives are at stake here, or their livelihoods at least, isn't it time to become a little more confrontational in that respect?
Maybe that may be something that we need to consider. We need to carefully look into that because our approach is that we believe in building relationships with all the stakeholders. And we were hoping that we would not have to force government to do what we think is the right thing to be done by government.
How bad is the current backlog of unresolved claims?
If you comply with all the requirements of the REF and the court process to at least get a court date today, the next court date that we'll get is in 2031. That's how bad the situation is. So we're having a situation where people are dying without having received their payments paid. We're having a situation where people get their houses, their cars sold simply because they're waiting for their RAF payments. And to us, as APRAF, it's double jeopardy. Remember, once you are a victim of road crash victim, then RAF then victimizes you by not properly adjudicating on your claim, administering it quicker to make sure that at least you get compensation for your injuries. Situation is bad, Jerry.
Which brings me back to my original point. Is it not time for your organization to up the ante here?
Jeremy, we are going to give SCOPA a chance to delve deeper into the crisis in the REF, and we're hoping that the inquiry that they have launched will help government and the ministry to look into the issues that are a problem within the REF, and whatever recommendations they make, we are hoping that the ministry and the Department of Transport will implement those. We are going to participate in the SCOPA inquiry fully to make sure that the voice of the victims is being catered for. So in our view, we are going to support SCOPA and the ministry, hoping that whatever interventions that they're making will help solve some of our problems and challenges.
Beyond intervention, as you go into the future, are you also looking at alternative funding or a better claims model to replace the RAF in the long term?
Jeremy, in 2022, we have made a submission to the Portfolio Committee on Transport on what we believe are solutions to the problems that are facing the RAF. By the way, in our midst as APRAF, we've got academics, we've got doctors that are specialists that have worked on the RAF field. We've got actuaries that understand the RAF fully. So we have got a team of experts, some of which have been assisting the RAF before, that have come to us with what we believe are long-term solutions to the RAF. And again, we are appealing to government to listen to us because we've shared our views, we've shared our solutions with Parliament and the Ministry. We're just hoping that at some point they will look objectively into what we're suggesting and then take it from there. But to try and answer your question directly, we believe that if the RAF were to implement the RAF Act as it is and not try to put layers of compliance issues to try and discourage people from claiming, if they can just implement the act as it is, the RAF Act is actually very, very much effective. They must just employ more claims officers within the RAF who are properly qualified and eligible. And we believe there are such people that will be able to gladly accept that responsibility and work for the fund.
And that's where we are going to leave it. Nwako Mohlahlocha from the Association for the Protection of Road Accident Victims, thank you very much.